We just got through First Lights, and it was wonderful. All of the packages are wrapped. All of the cooking is done. The house is decorated. I've got it all finished. Now I can just sit back and relax and enjoy the season. And others of you are feeling a little bit frantic this morning. There's only 2 weeks left. There's still so much to be done. I don't even have the tree decorated. I haven't cooked a single thing. I don't even know what I'm planning to have for gifts, much less have them wrapped. What am I going to do? Where am I going to turn? And for some of us, especially those of you who are parents and grandparents, you're also recognizing that we're getting really close to the most intimidating season of the year. You know what I'm talking about. It's that moment when you're going to have to come face to face with it. You know what it is. It's that statement that's found on some of the boxes at your house. And some you've bought to give away. The one that sends a shiver up your spine. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Some assembly required. And some of us are beginning to look at things and think, I don't know why we even did this. The truth is, Christmas can be complicated, can't it? If you're not careful, you can allow the celebration of the birth of Christ to be lost in the rush of all of the things you're trying to do during the days leading up to the celebration of the birth of Jesus. And because life can be so hectic, there's one gift that I think all of us would like to receive during this Christmas season. The gift of simplicity. We need the gift of having permission to just sit back and relax and remember. That's one of the reasons I love our Christmas Eve service so much. Because by the time we gather here at 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, all of the other things will be set to the side. And we'll take time to just remember that God loved us and sent His Son. At its heart, the Christmas story is a story all about simplicity. You know, a couple of weeks ago, as we began this journey through the Gospels with Christmas, we looked at Matthew, and Matthew tells us about the complexity of what God did when He sent His Son. You remember, Matthew begins with that genealogy, 51 generations between the time that God made the promise and God fulfilled it at the manger in Bethlehem. 1,700 years of hearing prophets as they would talk about what God was going to do, and yet people lived and people died and they never saw the fulfillment of that promise. Matthew reminds us of the complexity of God's promise to us, and it reminds us of the wisdom and the power and the majesty of God. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that when we have learned everything we're going to learn and accomplished everything we're going to accomplish, we have not even scratched the surface of the glory of God. But we also need simplicity. And that's where Luke comes in. Luke tells us about the simple story of what God accomplished when He sent His Son. Luke gives us the narrative of what happened when Jesus came. Luke tells the story of a simple couple. Joseph was a village carpenter, and he was happy doing just that. He had no grand ambitions, and he had no great vision of what God might do with him in the world. He was not the most gifted craftsman of his age. His work was not the envy of everybody who saw it. Kings and potentates did not send people to bring Joseph's furniture and his creations into their palaces. But he did build strong homes, sturdy furniture, and cradles that rocked just right for sleeping babies. When you think about the faith that Joseph shared, you realize he had a simple man's faith. Joseph had no pretense that he was any kind of theologian. He left that to the rabbis. He found his place in synagogue and he worshiped God because he knew God was worthy of being worshiped. His faith was nothing flashy. It was just a heart deep belief that God was good and the Lord could be trusted. Joseph may have been like you and like me. He was just a simple man with a simple faith. And that was plenty for him. And Mary was a simple young lady. It's interesting when you think about the Virgin Mary. Hers is the best known name among all the women of history. Countless artists of all kinds have attempted to capture, to portray the mother of Jesus in paintings and sculptures and all sorts of works of art to somehow capture what it must have been like to have been the mother of God. And yet, here's the interesting thing. And the Bible gives us exactly no description of what Mary was like. We have no idea exactly what age she was. We have no idea what she looked like, what her personal appearance was. In fact, the only description that's found in the Bible of Mary is one she gave herself, and it was this: she was the handmaiden of the Lord. An unknown woman from a small town, no doubt loved by her family, her friends, and especially by Joseph, who had invited her to be his bride and to share a simple life. All we know about Mary is this: she loved the Lord and she was willing to do anything to please him. And when the angel came, she was ready to say yes. The two of them were the couple chosen by the Lord to bring about the most important event in human history, to become the mother of the Son of God, to fill the role of the Lord's earthly father, providing guidance and protection for Jesus until his time would come. No one would ever have predicted it, but God, who sees past the inside and into the depths of the heart, recognized that Mary was perfect for her role, and Joseph could be trusted. And so he chose them for the greatest task the world would ever see. Astounding. This simple couple, chosen by God for the greatest event in human history. The story of Joseph and Mary reminds us that the Lord chooses all kinds of people to follow him. That you can't say, this is the kind of people God is looking for. These are the sorts of folks that the Lord wants. This is who we'll reach out to and call. That he cares about all of us. You and I might tend to divide people in all kinds of ways. By their ages, by their nationality, by their fame, or by their fortune. But Luke reminds us that none of those things are important to the Lord. After all, the best we can be and the most that we can offer are less than nothing compared to God's majesty. What the Lord is looking for this Christmas is for you to possess the same kind of faith that he found in Joseph and Mary, a simple, trusting faith. God is God. God is good. God sent his Son. I will trust him. That's really all you need to know, isn't it? I wonder this morning, have you made simple trust one of your gifts to the Lord? Father, I don't have to understand it all. I don't have to be able to explain everything. I just know I need to trust you. So I will. Luke describes Christ's coming as a simple birth. When Mary delivered her firstborn son, that birth took place in the simplicity of a silent night. There were no multitudes waiting for some grand announcement. Outside of that manger, there were not multitudes of folks who had gathered around just waiting for somebody to tell them, the new king has been born, the Messiah has come. There were no trumpets sounding. There was no majestic heavenly display over the manger in Bethlehem. The visits and the gifts of the Magi would not take place for some time. On the night Jesus was born, all that could be seen was a new mother's love and a young father's pride. and the light of a single bright star. Jesus was not born in the light of public acclaim, but in the midst of a small circle of love. In fact, it would be years before anyone would know anything about him at all, except those few people who encountered him, those at the temple when he was dedicated, those who would be there when he was 12 years old, but really until he was 30 years old, nobody had ever heard of Jesus of Nazareth. But his mother knew, and his father knew. Seems so strange to people in our day, doesn't it? We live in an age of smartphones and Instagram, where people are constantly making videos of themselves and dream of becoming some kind of internet influencer. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what an influencer is. But it seems as though everybody around you wants to let everybody know, this is me brushing my teeth. This is me petting my dog. This is me going for a walk. This is me, this is me, this is me. Y'all look at me, pay attention to me, because I know how important I am. But the Gospel of Luke reminds us that the most important things in the world are very seldom those things that draw a lot of attention to themselves. And everybody knows for an instant, and then they're forgotten again. The most important things that God does are usually the personal, private things. Like coming into the life of a new believer. Hearing the prayer of someone who desperately needs forgiveness. Hearing a whispered prayer of real trust in hard situations. God's most important work in your life will be done in the depths of who you are, just like when he sent his son. God sent his son into the world, and the people outside the doors of that stable didn't know anything about what had just happened. And the Lord will do the same thing in your life. He will come to you right where you are and just where you need him the most. And while the people going around you may not know anything is going on, in your heart of hearts you will know heaven is present. And God is close by, and he really cares about you, and you can trust him. And that's why Luke reveals that his coming was witnessed by very simple visitors. The kings would not come for a while, but the shepherds, they were there on the night in which Jesus was born. They came straight from the pastures outside of Bethlehem. They were chosen to be the first ones to hear the announcement of Christ's birth. It was proclaimed by the angel that had just sent them to see what had happened. They'd heard the greatest news this old world would ever hear. Born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they came to see. You know, the thing I love about the shepherds is they came to see this new baby. They didn't stop by the house to wash up a little bit. They didn't think, let me put on my best clothes before I go to see the Messiah. They didn't do anything except carry the aroma of the pasture with them and the sheep who had surrounded them, because they were in such a hurry to meet the newborn king. There was such a rush. I want to see this. I want to experience this for myself. I don't want to know what happened to somebody else. I'm not concerned with how other people may have perceived what's going on. I just know this. I want to go. This is what the shepherds said to one another. According to Luke, they said, let's go. Let's go. Let's go see what God has done. And they rushed their way to the manger. And after the angels had returned to heaven, they found the baby in a manger, and they worshiped the king. And then they began to tell people what God had done, everybody they met. And then they disappeared to the night, and nobody knows what happened afterward. They were the simple shepherds, ordinary men, but in a deep sense, those shepherds are all of us. That's you kneeling at the manger. That's me accompanied by a sheep and a staff. That's us. It reminds us that God doesn't look upon people the way that we're impressed. God looks on the soul. And there we're all the same. You know who came to the manger when Jesus was born? Well, we could say it was the shepherds. We will say it was the shepherds. We understand from the Bible it was the shepherds. But you know who really came? Sinners. Sinners came to the manger to witness the newborn king who had come to bring peace between God and man and lost people and the Lord God Almighty. Isn't it good to know that long before God invited kings, God invited sinners? I think that's terrific. God invited those of us who needed him the most to come and be the first ones to witness the fulfillment of his promise. And his promise was, I will redeem and reconcile. I will bring you back to myself. Come ye sinners, poor and needy. Come to the manger in Bethlehem. People who desperately needed to know that God cared. People who knew what it was like to live in darkness. And people who were hoping desperately to find the light. That's why the essence of Christmas is a simple message that everybody needs to hear. Unto you and unto me and unto all of us, a Savior has come to save us from our sin. And until that message has pierced your heart and turned you to Christ, nothing else about Christmas really matters. Until you recognize, God loved me just the way I was. I didn't have to clean myself up. I didn't have to straighten up my act. I didn't need to pretend that I was somebody else. I just came to him as a sinner. And he made me new. So here's my simple question for you this morning. What makes the difference between those who hear the good news but never stop to listen and those who are transformed today and forever by the knowledge that God has given them a Savior? What's the answer? Simplicity. Simplicity. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to be able to explain everything. It's hearing the story that Luke told and understanding everything that Luke wrote is gospel truth. And then it's letting God's truth become your truth. Listen to Jesus speaking in the simplicity of your soul. It's not a complicated message. It's a very simple one. Come unto me. Come unto me. And that's all you have to do. A simple invitation that requires a simple response. I will come. I will come to Jesus. To the manger, to the cross, to the Savior. And he'll take away my sin and replace it with everlasting life. And it's just that simple. You don't have to come and say, Lord, as soon as I can explain everything about everything, then I'll come to you. You don't have to come to the Savior and say, Lord, I'm going to come to you. But first, I've got to straighten out my life. There's some sin in my life that you don't need to know anything about, and I need to fix myself, and then I'll come, because you're never going to be able to do it. And you don't need to say, I'll come, but not right now. I'll come at another better time. When do you come to Jesus? When you hear him speaking right here. And he's saying, not to us, but to you. Come unto me. You come unto me. Maybe you're here today and you're not a believer, but you're hearing that voice. And you know it's Him. And it's time to come to Jesus and let Him save you and change you for all of eternity. In a moment when we sing our hymn of invitation, that's a call to you. Come to Christ. Or maybe you're hearing His call, and His call to come is, this is the church where I want you to plant yourself. It's where I want you to grow. It's where I want you to serve. It's where I want you to be a disciple. This is the place I want you to be a member. And you need to come and just say, God's telling me, join this church today, right now. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing there's some things that you've allowed in your life. You've lost the simplicity of it all. And today is a day when, as a believer, you just need to come and say, you know, starting today, I want to come back to the manger. I want to come back to the cross. I want to come back to the Savior. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. I'll be here. Dr. Hutchins will be here. We would love to introduce you to Jesus. Will you come? Let's stand together. Let's sing. A great day in God's house. I'm so glad we got to share this time together, and I have a special word for those of you who've been involved for these last four nights and first lights, and it is this: go home and rest. And we look forward to sharing this Christmas season together. Let's pray together for have our final prayer, and then one last song as we dismiss. Lord, we just want to pray that you will bless us with simple hearts and simple faith and simple trust. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.